Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on state news, and we'll be doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on April 15th, 2020, in my home. I'm wearing sweatpants today. I'm doing it. And just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. Each episode is structured to give you the latest news up front, followed by additional context, on-the-ground reporting, and also your voices. Yes, we want you to send us voice messages. And we end it all with a little bit of a wind down. And like I mentioned, we want to hear from you. We set up a voicemail box so you can leave us a 1 minute long voicemail about your self-isolation life, what being a teacher has been like, how your employment situation is, and how everyday life has changed. Let us know at 803-563-7169. Again, leave us a message with your name, where you are, and what's going on at 803-563-7169. And now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 remains in the acceleration phase, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 107 deaths, and currently there are 3,656 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of April 15th at 3:07 p.m. And we got some new demographic information released from DHEC this week, which shows COVID-19 deaths continue to be disproportionately Black in South Carolina. African Americans make up 27% of the population in the state, but currently are 56% of the 82 deaths. The average age of a deceased COVID-19 patient in South Carolina is 74. DHEC also released new data that shows 140 healthcare workers in the state have tested positive for COVID-19, and there have been 84 cases of the virus detected in nursing homes since April 3rd. Now, we know both of those numbers are much higher than what they're actually reported because this doesn't account for anything that happened in the month of March. Last week, we saw a high for new cases at 1,276, and those were only slightly higher than the week before. So again, nothing exponential there, no massive growth. And when it comes to weekly deaths, last week represented the first time the death rate dropped after climbing weekly from 4, 6, 25, and to 38, deaths dropped to 17. Dr. Brandon Traxler with DHEC said changes in reporting have been encouraging.
We're seeing evidence that people are doing what they need to be doing, that they are doing these social distancing measures, they're staying home. And so we're seeing that peak, you know, come down some. We're looking at late April, early May still. And so there still is time for people to continue to do these things or to start doing them if they weren't doing them before. But the message really needs to be that we are seeing evidence that it's working. So keep going.
So keep up social distancing, washing your hands, avoid touching your face, sanitize frequently touched surfaces, and wear a mask in public if you have to go out. Governor Henry McMaster is not only leading the state through a slow-moving health crisis, which has triggered its own economic storm of business closures and record unemployment, but this week, another disaster within the disaster.
We have a new disaster on our hands now, of course, with the tornado.
That's right. In addition to the novel coronavirus, Mother Nature threw another curveball as multiple tornadoes tore across the state early Monday morning. The storms, which ranged in intensity on the enhanced Fujita scale from EF0 to EF3, claimed the lives of 9 South Carolinians, making it the most deadly tornado outbreak in 36 years, according to the Associated Press. The twisters destroyed dozens of homes and businesses in Aiken, Berkeley, Colleton, Georgetown, Hampton, Oconee, Orangeburg, and Pickens counties. The governor flew to Seneca, a small town tucked into the northwest corner of the state, to visit the destruction on Monday.
Destruction is enormous. The trees broken off, big pine trees halfway up with no limbs on them, and the top's gone somewhere. Big oak trees ripped up, houses smashed. Everything smashed but the spirit of the people in Seneca. It's quite a sight.
I visited the area Tuesday morning in the neighborhoods surrounding the small town out past Clemson. The first site I encountered was the Borg Warner plant, where around 3:30 a.m. Monday morning, an EF3 tornado chewed into the massive metal facility, and it killed 77-year-old security guard Jack Harville. And the storm carried metal siding and debris for miles. You could see it all across the area when I toured these neighborhoods. And the county coroner said in local media reports that it's a good thing production has slowed at the plant, which produces transfer cases, components that are used for four-wheel drive and all-wheel drive vehicles. That's because instead of 200 people working at the plant, there were only five at the time. The Twister had wind speeds of 160 miles per hour, and it was as wide as a half a mile. Just utterly massive there. It moved across Wells Highway, across from the BorgWarner plant, and demolished part of Destiny Christian Center, where a cross knocked off the roof of the church, landed in front of the debris pile, was still standing when I saw it there on Tuesday. Behind the church, the Thriftwood neighborhood and surrounding areas became the next target. The storm demolished trees and laid waste to yards and homes as it made its way through the area. Some had their roofs peeled off, siding peeled off, and tree limbs were down everywhere, along with telephone poles. But when I was out there on Tuesday, folks were already springing into action to start cleaning up and clearing all the debris. I came across a group from New Spring Church who were chainsawing and dragging limbs from a massive fir tree in Edward Johnson's front yard. Johnson, an elderly man, said he slept through the storm, but his next-door neighbor, Maddie Gooding, was wide awake through it.
The ceiling fell in the house. I just don't know how to explain it. I've never been through anything like this in my 65 years. Never. My children was born in storms. My baby was born in Hurricane Gloria. No ambulance, no fire trucks, nothing was moving. Then I got a daughter that was born in a snowstorm. My oldest was born in another hurricane in New York. So this, to me, is God is telling me something, and it's to pray, and pray that much harder.
If you think that's impressive, Maddie is a three-time cancer survivor, which presents challenges since she's also trying to socially distance due to the coronavirus. She summed up her issues like this.
I got water damage, I got ceilings falling, and then my back is horrendous. It moved storage buildings. It took my mother's storage, two storage buildings. But I got everybody tree in my yard. So, it's material stuff. You just can't replace your life with material.
And we have more on cancer survivors and COVID-19 in our medical section in a moment. But from the upstate to the Midlands on Monday morning, another EF3 tornado appeared. It ripped through several counties in the Midlands around 5:45 Monday morning. It started in Elko, which is a small town in Barnwell County, and stretched for 31 miles through Orangeburg before ending up in Calhoun County. The storm was as wide as nearly 8 football fields and killed a husband and wife when it lifted their house off the ground in Nieces. Later on Tuesday, the governor made an unannounced visit to Hampton County. The county suffered the highest fatalities when a family of three was killed in their home, along with two others in a nearby home, according to the Associated Press. In nearby Colleton County, a woman was killed when a tree fell on her bedroom. It's still unclear if that was the same Twister or another, because the National Weather Service in Charleston continues to investigate the damage in those areas. Ray Hawthorne, a meteorologist with the South Carolina Emergency Information Network, recapped the historic nature of these severe storms.
7 tornadoes of EF3 intensity were recorded across the Deep South Sunday night into Monday. 4 of those EF3 tornadoes occurred here in South Carolina, the most of that strength of any state in this outbreak. More surveys here and in other states will change these totals, but more confirmations are expected.
A likely tornado also threw more than a dozen single-engine planes around the Lowcountry Regional Airport in Walterboro, like they were toys scattered across a child's room. I was down there. It was quite a sight to see. Even a World War II airplane was turned around and pushed into a hangar. Off on the tarmac, you could see planes upside down, totaled. Folks were out there trying to salvage what they could and also lifting planes off the tarmac and hauling them away. Off in a distant hangar, you could even see a private jet pushed onto its side. It was just an incredible sight to see, something obviously that doesn't happen very often. And Columbia National Weather Service meteorologist Rich Okowski said earlier this week that the tornadoes could have been far worse if they occurred during the daytime.
Some things to consider with this outbreak is it could have been far worse if that front had gone through in the afternoon hours of peak heating versus the early morning hours. It was bad enough. It's going to take some time to go through and get a final report for the state in terms of any disaster declarations. It's tedious work. These tracks, some of them are 30 to 50 miles long. This is a very rare situation that I've only faced working in different parts of the country several times in my career. And I'm grateful that the damage so far, it's bad, but it could have been far worse.
And other parts of the state saw tornadoes as well. 2 EF1s caused damage near Georgetown around 8:15 Monday morning. an EF2 near Litchfield, and further down the coast in Edisto Beach, an EF2, which originally was a waterspout, according to reports, damaged homes near the beach. Once we have a full damage report, we'll have a clearer picture about just how bad and widespread the damage was, what the cost was, and just how many tornadoes wreaked havoc on the state. And on Wednesday afternoon, the governor declared a state of emergency for Monday's severe weather event. Currently, local emergency management officials are assessing the damage still that were caused by the storms. Once those assessments are completed and sent to the state, the governor will then request a federal disaster declaration. People with underlying medical conditions are most at risk for suffering complications from a COVID-19 infection. Conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, COPD, obesity, immunocompromised folks, including those fighting cancer. South Carolina Public Radio's Scott Morgan has this report on cancer and COVID-19.
Those most at risk for serious implications of COVID-19 are those with compromised immune systems, like certain cancer patients.
Patients who would most be at risk are patients with hematologic malignancies, or patients who have a bone marrow transplant or undergoing bone marrow transplants, or who are actively taking chemotherapy.
Dr. Karen Wickersham is a professor at the University of South Carolina's College of Nursing, who specializes in chronic cancer care. We spoke on Zoom.
And so the reason for this is because they may either be taking immunosuppressive drugs, or if you're actively taking chemotherapy or another type of therapy that suppresses your white blood cell counts, or number of lymphocytes in your body, you may be at increased risk for infection.
Chemo is a lot like a wildfire. It takes out everything in its way, including what's beneficial. So immune systems drop and lay a person's entire self bare. It's why the CDC recommends flu shots for chemotherapy patients every 6 months, as well as supplemental pneumococcal shots. But that's for influenza, which has vaccines ready and waiting for it every winter. COVID-19, of course, has no such thing, at least not yet. And it, too, is a bit like a wildfire, in that it does not discriminate over what or who it touches. But the risks do escalate with certain conditions. Chemotherapy-treated cancers are one. Age is another.
The most common chronic disease in older adults, so I'm talking about people about 65 or older, is cancer.
Dr. Sue Heine is also a professor and cancer expert at U of SC's College of Nursing, and she is at multiple risk for a thing like COVID-19 because she's had cancer, she has an autoimmune condition, and she's 70 years old.
Children can take huge amounts of chemotherapy and bounce back. We as adults cannot do that.
Stats connecting COVID deaths with cancer are hard to come by. The newest and most complete look at the link between COVID and cancer was published on February 28th by the World Health Organization China Joint Mission on Coronavirus Disease. It shows that through February 20th, the fatality rate for cancer patients with laboratory-confirmed coronavirus infection was 7.6%. That's about double the rate of deaths among those who had no comorbid condition, and about half of those among people who had underlying cardiovascular disease at the time they contracted COVID. But while cancer patients have a higher risk for infection from the coronavirus, there are two encouraging things to keep in mind. First, says Dr. Wickersham, is that cancer patients are used to taking extra precautions when it comes to infectious disease, and those precautions are pretty much the same for cancer patients as they are for everyone else.
Washing your hands, staying inside, avoiding person-to-person contact, and then, of course, keeping in touch with your oncologist or your healthcare provider, and then any additional recommendations that they may give.
The second encouraging thing is that a coronavirus drug may come from understanding how to treat some forms of cancer. Out in Washington State, a biotech firm named Cytodyne has worked one of its cancer drugs into a potential treatment for COVID-19. According to its clinical trial data filed with the FDA, the drug shows promise by limiting the effects of the so-called cytokine storm. That's when invasion-fighting cytokine cells overproduce in the body in response to a severe threat. The newest research into how the coronavirus affects the immune system is pointing towards shutting off the cytokine storm, something that effective cancer therapies can do. But hope, of course, needs to wait where it often must, behind patience and time.
I think if you gave us another month, we would know how many patients with cancer have also COVID-19 or which drug and how it would work.
The trouble, she says, is that the situation is still so new that putting together the answers is a lot like trying to build a plane that's already in flight.
So you checked your bank account and all of a sudden you realized you got some stimulus money, huh? Or maybe you're getting additional money with your unemployment check. Awesome. Great news to hear for everyone. But what should you do with all this money while you also juggle your other financial responsibilities? Should you jump in the stock market? Do you need to borrow against your 401k to stay afloat? Or should you just sit on the money and wait for the next disaster to come? Because it sounds like they're coming. So lots of personal finance questions these days, which is why I recently spoke with financial advisor Elise Bidwell on This Week in South Carolina about how she's advising her clients. And trust Elise on this because this is not her first crisis. She started with Edward Jones during the 2008 Great Recession. So take a listen.
And so what I typically go back to is we've been here before. We know how this ends. We cannot time the bottom, but we know a recovery will come. And there's no reason for us not to be picking up good companies at good values right now that will still be here paying dividends on the other side of this mess. So I will tell you three things we know about the market. First of all, the market is forward looking. And so what we saw back in March, we're seeing come to fruition right now in decreased earnings, in some horribly significant jobless claims that we're seeing. In fact, May 8th would be a date that I would tell folks to look at, expect to see, my people are telling me to expect to see the unemployment rate in excess of 10 to 11%, mm-hmm. because all of those jobless claims from April will be within that number on May 8th. So certainly there's a lot of uncertainty. The market doesn't like uncertainty either. So when we see the number of deaths that we continue to see due to the virus, none of us are back to normal by any stretch of the imagination. And then the jobless numbers, corporate earnings, all of that could cause a market dip. And the last thing that I will say is that it is not atypical when we have a bear market to see a significant drop, to see a rebound, and then to see us test those lows again. Mm-hmm. So a lot of your viewers may be hearing on the news channels that we will test lows again likely. And that's what I'm hearing from my economist and market strategist right now too.
Some people who maybe are in difficult economic situations might be tempted to pull money out of their 401ks. I think the fees are waived. There's some penalties that are being waived. What's your advice for people who are looking at that as a possibility just to stay afloat right now?
But certainly people under the age of 59 and a half are able to take money out without paying the 10% penalty. And they have 3 years to pay it back from their 401ks and IRAs. The loan provisions for 401ks have been increased from $50,000 to $100,000. What I tell folks is this is not a total last resort. We don't want people to lose their home or build up significant credit card debt in these times with high interest rates. But what we do want people to do is if they have an emergency bucket of money, go there first. And if they don't, we are working with them to figure out what the best strategy is for taking withdrawals from their IRAs and their 401ks and putting a plan in place to get that money back in the next 3 years so they're not taxed on it.
Some Americans will be getting $1,200 checks to any, you know, some money back. I'm wondering, what do you tell people to do with that money? Maybe do you tell them to jump in the market, look at some of these biotechs or pharma stocks that might be working towards a vaccine? What's your advice to do with money people might be getting back? Or should they just sit on it and keep it in cash?
And so just putting a little bit into a good blue chip stock right now. We don't have to be fancy about it. We don't have to look for specific companies that are going to benefit from the coronavirus. Many of those companies are good companies that would make sense to buy into over the next 6 months or so for long-term holdings in their portfolios. My advice is a little bit each month. And then if we see another big dip, maybe we would go in with what's left.
And you can watch that full interview with Elise on This Week in South Carolina at scetv.org/TWISC. Now, there's also been a lot of talk lately about when things will reopen, how that will happen, and what it could look like. Governor McMaster said at Monday's press conference that it's still in the early stages, but he's starting to put together a plan.
The main thing, what we hope that we can do, is we can get our economy started again, get this economic engine going. We've tried to and are still trying and trying with great determination and deliberation to do as much damage as we can to the virus and to stop it without stopping businesses and pushing them underwater and into bankruptcy. Every business is essential to somebody, particularly the one working there. And so what might be essential to you might not be essential to him or her. But we want to get all these businesses going back as soon as we can. To that end, we will be announcing before long a a plan, a rejuvenation a plan, a revitalization plan in order to get our economy started again.
But the governor urged folks to keep fighting the virus.
Now's not the time to let up. We have to keep on going and keep working together and following the advice and recommendations that have come from the official sources. And I believe that we'll make great progress and we'll come out of this very well.
And retailers are struggling. U.S. retail sales dropped a record 8.7% in March. That's more than double the previous worst record during the Great Recession. Now, these numbers from the Department of Commerce were released Wednesday, and they show that car sales are down 26%, restaurants and bar revenue down 27%, and clothing store sales plummeted 50.5%. So what does this all mean? Well, you already see the record unemployment, factor in the fact that Americans aren't shopping, which makes up two-thirds of our economy, so you can just imagine how bad things are economically right now in our country. And to look at it globally, the International Monetary Fund said in a report on Tuesday that it expects the global economy to contract by 3%. That's in contrast to its January estimate of a 3% expansion. IMF economists say the downturn will rival the Great Depression, not the Great Recession, guys, the Great Depression, though recovery would be underway in 2021. Deep exhale there. Yeah, a lot of difficult news in this episode. I'm sorry for that. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. We'll get it out of the way before the weekend. But that's why we have our wind down section, so we can decompress for a minute here. We want to talk to you. We want to hear from you. We want to know what you're going to do with your government stimulus check if you're getting money back. What are you planning on doing? Going to like maybe splurge on something small, then sit on the rest of it? What are you going to do? Let us know. Have you been late to a Zoom video conferencing meeting? I want to know, people. Tell me some of the most awkward situations that have happened on Zoom calls that you've been a part of, or just your work from home situation. And you can do that by calling us at 803-563-7169. This is the new normal, people, and we got to document it while it's still going on. Hopefully it won't be going on much longer. So again, 803-563-7169. AT, my producer, our producer for the show, Dank Memeologist, keeping us alive on Instagram.
Thank you.
We have our new normal. We've been working from home this past week now. You know, you said I was like the most work from home look I've had in a while.
Today's rough.
I mean, I probably will spruce up before we take our photo, but
not important.
Like, that's the not only important. Thing that's motivating me. I mean,
the
I
people
did get
need
out of the
to
house.
Know.
I did get out of the house yesterday when I had to like go tour like the state, drove like 600 miles around. But yeah, that was like the most I've been out of the house. It reminded me of the campaign trail, driving all over the state to see all that horrible devastation. But
nice, you mentioned campaign trail. We got a little whip crack there. I just said campaign trail twice.
If people even like remember what those days were like,
who even knows? Does anyone even know what a snake
Bernie
alarm
Sanders
is?
Bernie Sanders drops out. Barack Obama endorses Joe Biden. It's like, okay, well, we got other things going on, guys.
Whatever.
But I'm interested to know, like I asked our listeners, what do you plan to do with your stimulus check? I know you barely make that requirement, so you'll probably be getting just a little bit back. But since I know you make so much.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm so rich that it probably won't even matter to me. But
if you were to get a $1,200 check, for example, what would you do with it?
Oh, God, I would want to buy guitars and
my what are you going to do with me. It?
What am I going to do with it? Probably save it. I'm probably going to save it.
Yeah,
honestly,
that's smart.
I'm going to save it. Maybe a third cat. I don't know. Is that smart?
Yeah, that's an ongoing cost. But I mean, when you already have two, I guess what's the difference, right?
A lot, I think. I think two is sort of like a Goldilocks zone. Three is you're screaming for help into the universe. So what have you been up to? I basically know what you've been up to yesterday.
Yeah, that was crazy driving around seeing all that. I think I'm gonna sit on my stimulus check too. I don't think I'm going to go crazy with it. Nothing to go crazy with it on. I looked into getting maybe some new suits. They don't need
we should get
suits.
Sponsors. Someone should sponsor us and dress
someone
you.
Once I get like deranged looking enough, maybe we can get someone to sponsor us so they can clean me up.
Not many people realize how important it is to look good in a podcast.
Oh,
so.
I mean, that's one of the most undervalued things. And that's something we always hear about during the podcast conferences we go to is just how important it is to look good.
Look good, feel good. Look good, feel good.
It's a mindset. Yeah, you know, just trying. We're going to see how we...
We're just trying here, okay? Yeah. Take it away.
I'll have to get a haircut one of these days somehow. We'll get bangs soon. So thanks again for tuning into the pod. Again, let us know what you're doing. If you got bangs, if you got a new haircut, if you got a mustache like myself or a new dye job, let us know. 803-563-7169. And again, you can keep up with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Now, once you get your fill of news, remember to take a break from it. Go out, take a walk. I've been doing like 12,000 steps a day, people. Pretty good.
Brag.
I'm a brag right there.
Brag.
It's so nice out. Go for a walk. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest news. And I'll also let you know if the governor is holding a press conference that day, which we carry live on SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio platforms, usually around 4:30. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this week. And as this situation continues to develop, we are in full-scale hashtag lead, laugh, love mode together. For the South Carolina lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Brag. Brag. Brag.